Father. Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here tonight, watching us online. And Father God, we thank you, you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. We thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you that your word will not return void, but that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But we thank you that most of all, that we'll take the word that we hear that brings forth life on the inside of us and go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you that we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own ability, but your strength, your might, and your power, that you be lifted up. And we thank you as we go to minister that they will not see me ministering, but they'll see you ministering through me. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But we thank you most of all for that anointing that's on the inside, that anointing that we stir up tonight, that anointing that will just make everything okay. We thank you, Father, that that anointing is here tonight. And Father God, we thank you for mom and dad as they're there in Europe, and we thank you for many lives being touched, many lives being healed, many people being saved, and we thank you for helping them, to giving them rest and relaxation and helping, giving them strength to do what they need to do. We thank you, Father, for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. First of all, I just kind of want to give you a little update. Like I said, mom and dad, they're on their European trip, not European vacation, European trip. In fact, it's not much of a vacation at all. I mean, they're going night after night. Some of you might have seen some pictures on Facebook. They started off in London after they finally got there. I guess they had a 3-hour delay in order to get there because of fog. Not in London, it was actually in Newfoundland where they had stopped over for the night. On Monday night they had a meeting with some Rainbow alumni from there in Europe. And in fact, not only people there in Europe, you see the picture, and there's Marty Blackwell there sitting right next to him. So he happened to be there, was able to get in and that. And then they flew. That was on Monday night. Tuesday, I guess they had the meeting there. And then Wednesday night, which, you know, of course, they're 7 hours ahead of us. So they just finished a meeting tonight. Of course, right now it's like 2:26 a.m., I guess. They're in Zagreb, Croatia with Pastor Demir. I was just there back in November. So they did a healing service tonight. And then tomorrow they fly to Sicily and they do another healing service. And then from there, they fly to Tirana, Albania, with Pastor Fatmir and Ram Albania and Pastor Spiros from Greece, and they do a healing service there. And then they get on the plane and they fly again to Athens, and I believe they have on Saturday. I think they have some meetings with some Ram alumni and some other pastors in the area. They're doing some kind of teachings and some stuff like that. And then on Sunday, I guess they have another meeting, and I'll let you know on Sunday more exactly what's going on, because I'll know more about what's going on in their complete schedule. But just keep praying for them, because when I go overseas, I give myself time, you know, because I'm getting old. But not them. I mean, you know. My mom doesn't ever give any time. They just like, they let go. I mean, they one country here, one country there, or whatever. So I guess, you know, when you have your own plane, you know, you can do that kind of stuff. And so, just please pray for them. Because I know it doesn't necessarily wear my mom out, but it wears my dad out. So, pray for my dad especially, okay? So, you know, my mom's like a go-getter, but you know, my dad... You know, he's getting older like myself, you know, so. All right. Also, let me let you know, tomorrow, I'm pretty excited. Tomorrow, we've been invited, actually. My parents are not here, so they can't go, but going to go to the governor's mansion tomorrow to meet with our governor. He's invited a number of the religious leaders around Oklahoma to meet with him, and he's going to have a special announcement, I guess, tomorrow around 2:30 or so. And so we got to, you know, and it's awesome to have a good Christian governor, too. And I don't know if any of you saw that the other day he was here in Tulsa, you know, middle of the flood. You know, he said, let's all pray. Now, he actually is the son of he's a PK. He's a pastor's son. In fact, a little known fact, his dad actually was pastor in Norman, Oklahoma. But before that, he was in Arkansas. And I guess when I was about 3 or 4, my dad actually preached for him, the governor's dad in Arkansas. When I was like 3 or 4, I think he was like 2. I think he's a year younger than me or something like that. So it's kind of interesting known fact. Amen. Well, I want to talk actually, you know, about something that's been on all our minds for the last few weeks, the storms of life. You know, obviously you guys have been, probably like myself, has been binge watching Travis Meyer. You know, you've seen Travis Meyer episode 1, 2, 3, season 1, season 2, season 3. In fact, somebody wrote on Facebook last night, they said, you know, tonight's episode of Travis Meyer was pretty disappointing. Not much was going on. So, you know, and also, you actually need to pray for Travis. He wrote, my wife actually had wrote him just to thank him for, you know, his stuff on his Facebook, and he wrote us back. And just saying, you know, what many people don't know is during this time, I guess he has a small little ranch, which I didn't know that his horses have got out. He's had a little bit of flooding. And not only that, he's preparing for his daughter's getting married, and he has some kind of engagement reception that he's preparing for. So it's been, you know, it's been pretty stressful, he says, during this time, besides all the stuff you see him on TV. So he's a good guy. So we need to continue to remember him in prayer. He's also a good Christian man as well. But, you know, it's thinking about the storm, and obviously when you think about storms, you think about, you know, what we have when Jesus calmed the storm. So I want to look tonight to Mark chapter 4, reading from the NLT. We're starting in verse number 35. And I'm sure many of you have heard this story over and over again. But it's more than a story. It actually happened. You know, a lot of times we hear things in the Bible, we think it's a good story, we clap about them, praise God, and then, you know, we go on. But it's you know, it's not just something that actually happened, but it's something that we can learn for to use ourselves whenever we're facing our own storm. You know, like we have the past couple of weeks, we've been facing a physical storm, but sometimes your storm is not physical, sometimes it's emotional, sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it might be physical, like a health storm in your body, and not like a physical storm coming at you, you know. And I know some of you, you know, maybe over the last few weeks have taken shelter a few times. And in fact, I read one of the great things about it, you know, people said on Facebook, says many people have decided to make their storm shelter a little nicer now, you know, maybe painted a different color or whatever. Of course, that is, if you have a storm shelter, my storm shelter is a closet or a bathroom, so, you know, but I prefer my favorite storm shelter, the bed. I always tell everybody else, you guys go ahead and seat cover. I'm going to lay right here and rebuke the storm. So, anyway, verse 35. Well, it's better than going outside and watching the storm, which I've done that a few times. I will admit, one time this past week, I walked outside and it felt a little eerie, so I went back inside. But I didn't seek shelter. I went back to my bed and watched Travis. All right. Verse 35, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So I'm gonna stop right there. Notice that Jesus' words were, let us cross to the other side of the lake. Notice that Jesus never said these words, let us go to the middle of the lake and drown. Let us get halfway across the lake. You know, let us get, you know, 3/4 of the way there, and then let's let our flood, you know, our boats get flooded, and let's grab our life jackets and float the rest of the way. And he didn't say any of those kind of things. He said, let us go to the other side. It wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't, you know what, I think we're gonna go the other side, but we might not be make it there, but that's okay. You know, when Jesus says something, most people actually take his word for it. Let us go to the other side of the lake. Regard, you know, he didn't say, let us go to the other side if there's no storms. Now, obviously you have to understand that, you know, technology has come a long way in the last 2,000 years. Do you realize that Jesus wasn't able to check his weather app and to find out that there happened to be a storm brewing there or whatever? I mean, all they could do is look over there and say, looks good to me, you know, and they go off. And so, you know, it wasn't these guys, it wasn't just Jesus and his disciples that went to the other side, because you know everywhere Jesus went, other people wanted to follow him, because it says, so verse 36, so they took Jesus in the boat and started out leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. So there was not just Jesus and the disciples, there was other boats out there as well. All right? And then the next verse says, but a fierce storm came up, high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. So obviously, that's kind of a bleak scene. Now, I don't know what happened to the other boats, but the one that Jesus was in was filling with water. And the waves were kind of tough. And I don't know, I don't know if any of you have been out there on waters like that. Maybe people were getting seasick and throwing up. I don't know what was going on, but it probably wasn't a good scene. But I want you to remember, first of all, is that Jesus said, let's go to the other side of the lake. All right. Second of all, Jesus was in their boat. And I'm here to tell you, you know, when your storms come up, whether they're storms of weather or storms of life, I want to tell you that Jesus is saying, you know what? I'm with you, so let's go to the other side. Let's just not get bowled over by a storm, but let's together make it to the other side. You know, I don't know how many times when someone's going through some trials or whatever, and they come and ask me for advice, and I, you know, one of the best things I can say, you know what? You can make it. You will make it. You know, in fact, one time, a Winter Bible Seminar, a few years ago, I had a pastor come and talk to me, and I mean, some things were not really, well, I didn't plan to really say anything, but I asked him, well, how's the church going? And I mean, he unloaded all kinds of stuff, you know, that's financially, things weren't looking good and all kinds of stuff. And so I just looked at him and I said, well, it'll all be okay. You know, just trust in the Lord. I mean, it's going to be okay. Now, I wasn't saying this like, thus saith the Lord. I'm just saying, you know, I'm saying what the Bible says, so I guess it is thus saith the Lord, but it wasn't me prophesying to him it's all going to be okay. You know, this man, he stood on my words. In fact, he told me later, he, the words that I spoke to him just calmed him. It calmed him to storm. So you know what? We should calm our storms by saying, you know, it's just going to be okay, because that's what the Bible says. It's going to be okay. And fast forward about a year later, just miraculous things happen, and you know, the church was in dire trouble. In fact, they had to let their secretary go, and it was the only person on payroll was the pastor. You know, a year later, they had completely paid off their building, were debt free. We're able to hire, you know, not only the secretary back, but be able to get a full-time associate pastor. That, you know, everything's going great. And it was all because of my words telling him it's going to be okay. Those were my words. But Jesus said, you know what? It's going to be okay. I'm always with you. In fact, the Bible says he will never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus is always in our boat. No matter wherever we go, he's there with you in the storm cellar. He's there with you in the hospital room. Wherever you're at, Jesus is right there with you. Trying to tell you, hey, you know what? You know, with me here, it's gonna be okay. You're gonna make it. Let's go to the other side. Continuing on, verse 38. So here he is. I mean, let's look at the sides. So water's coming into the boat. It's pretty rocky or whatever. And verse 38 says, Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. So Jesus wasn't really worried about the storm. Now, you're not going to tell me, you know, maybe he was pretty exhausted or whatever, but surely he felt some winds and waves or whatever. You know, it didn't say he was underneath, in some kind of king-size bed underneath the boat. It says he was in the back of the boat, sleeping. Because you know what? He wasn't concerned about the winds and the waves because he said, let's go to the other side. Remember that. Those were words that he spoke, and he meant the words that he spoke. It wasn't just like he was kidding about it. It wasn't just like, hey, guys, I'm just joking. We're not going to go the other side. And, you know, think about this. I mean, if you literally had Jesus Christ in person with you in your boat or in your car, do you think you would be concerned whether you're going to make it? I mean, you know, but here's the thing is what we have, you know, the ability to do, we have the ability to see the whole story that took place. The disciples at the time, they were still trying to figure out, is this man who really who he says he is? I mean, you know, they didn't get the chance to see the whole story until it all, like, you know, played out. But you know what? Sometimes it's interesting. You know, people 2,000 years later act just like the disciples did, even when Jesus is in their boat in the middle of their storm. They act the same way, but we know the whole story. We know the whole story. We know who we are in Christ Jesus. You know, and I understand the reason that we have a lapse of judgment or forget is because the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You know, it's kind of scary. You know, sometimes things happen, whether they're physical things, emotional, financial, or whatever, that come toward us that seem kind of scary. It seems like we're not going to make it. But we have to remember who we are in Christ Jesus. We have to remember that Jesus is with us at all times. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. You have to remember, you know, with Jesus, we're going to make it to the other side. We're going to get through this storm. This thing is only temporal. It's not eternal. But I am here to tell you that storms will continue to come and hit you. All right? Because the devil, like I said, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's going to continue to throw storms at you. That's just what he does. Anyway, so here they were. Jesus was sleeping, you know, probably dreaming. Anyway, so it says, middle of verse 38, the disciples woke him up shouting. They were not just being, hey, Jesus. They were shouting, Jesus, get up. They were shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? So they were obviously pretty scared. They thought they were going to drown. So they didn't really believe when Jesus said, let us go to the other side of the lake, they didn't really believe what Jesus said because they thought they were going to drown. Jesus said, let's go to the other side of the lake. But you know, then waves started coming. I don't care how many waves come at you. I don't care how many storms come at you. Just go the other side. Yeah, but it's tough. It's only tough if you let the storm bother you. You let the wave bother you. You know, there's nothing that's going to bother you if you know who you are, if you know also what authority you have. Anyway, so verse 39, when Jesus woke up, now I don't know how long it took him to wake up because, you know, some people, you know, I don't care how much you shout at whatever, they're still kind of half groggy and finally, now some people I know, they just jump straight up. So I don't know what Jesus' sleeping patterns were, and the Bible doesn't really tell us much about that. But when Jesus kind of got up and was able to, you know, remember, hey, I thought I was on the beach in Hawaii, but I guess I'm in the middle of the lake still. Oh, you know. Anyway, when he woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the wave, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, so he asked the disciples, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Do you still have no faith? And he said, you know what? You've been with me all these days and I said, let's go to the other side. So we're not going to drown. Why are you afraid? And I think actually he was also trying to tell disciples, why didn't you talk to the wind? Why didn't you rebuke the storm? You have the same power to rebuke the storm, which is, we've talked about here in the tornado season. I mean, you know, rebuke the storm. If you don't want the storm coming towards you, then tell it to leave. Now, you know, whether your storm is physical, financial, emotional, however your storm is, you have the power and authority to rebuke it. In fact, I mean, you know, realize that storms, things that, you know, those come from the devil. Now, the Bible also tells us, resist the devil and he'll flee from us. But the way you resist the devil is you rebuke him. You tell him he has no power, he has no right, he has no authority. And on Sunday morning here, you know, Dad was telling the story about my grandfather. He was there and he was actually preaching for Mark Hankins' dad there in West Columbia, Texas, and real close down to the Gulf of Mexico. And a hurricane was coming toward their way. And they got out in the front yard and commanded it to move. And it didn't hit them. Now, it did go hit some other people because it did make ground. And, you know, there were other pastor friends that they knew that areas where they got hit. And they complained, well, Brother Hagin, why'd you send it our way? He said, I didn't send it your way. I just told it to leave my, you know, our way. Now, see, it's your responsibility now, if you don't want it to hit you, to do something about it. It's up to you. You have the authority. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell his disciples. Why did you wake me up? I was sleeping good. I didn't need to be woken up. I've had a tough day or a long day, and I needed to get some shut eye. If you guys are afraid, then you do something. It's your responsibility. You know, but here in verse 41, it says the disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They ask each other, even the wind and waves obey him. Now, what's interesting is that a few chapters later, in some verse of scriptures you probably know well, Mark chapter 11, Jesus basically tells us exactly what to do when we're faced with a storm, or in that this other case, he said a mountain, but the same thing. He tells us how to rebuke the storms. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 23 from the New King James. I'm going to read it from that. You know, first of all, verse 22 is the most important verse. It says, so Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. So see, when you're rebuking a storm, you have to understand that first of all, your faith has to be in God. You're not going to make the storm move. But you have to believe that God can. All right, you have to have faith in God. You know, a lot of people stand up and they say a lot of things, but if they're just saying them on their own strength, you know, that's just them. But when your faith is grounded in God, what you say actually really matters. You know, and some people translate this as have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. And I talk about it all the time. The faith of God is a faith that we see in Genesis chapter 1 when God says, let there be light, and there was light. Why was there light? Because God said so. He basically, God said it with his mouth, he believed in his heart, and he had what he said. That's exactly what happened in Genesis 1:1 when the earth was null and void. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Why was there light? Because God said so. And see, what we're doing is we're putting our faith in God that when we say so, that God is going to represent us. Because we represent God. It's part of being a Christian. We have the ability and the authority to speak to waves, to speak to storms, to speak to mountains, to speak to whatever's coming our way. We have the authority to speak to that. And Jesus told us in Mark 11, 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain or whoever says to this storm, be removed and be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So we put our faith in God and we begin to speak to our storms. Amen. We begin to speak to our situations. We begin to speak to whatever is trying to attack us. Now, here in the last few weeks, we've had, you know, weather attack us, whether it's been tornadoes or floods or whatever it's been, but it doesn't matter. You know, sometimes your storm might be totally a different kind of storm. Sometimes it's a financial storm. That happens quite a bit. Sometimes it's a physical storm in your own body. Sometimes it's a storm against your marriage, against your kids, against your household, against whatever. But whatever storm you have the authority and the ability to go to the other side, to get through it, to get past it. But you first of all have to put your faith in God. You have to believe, you know what, that God is with you. You have to understand that Jesus is right with you in the middle of everything. When everything looks bleak and dark and it looks like you're not going to make it, Jesus is right there. Now, I mean, I believe that the disciples literally felt they weren't going to make it. I mean, how many of you believe that? You know, the thing is, I really literally believe the disciples actually thought the boat was going under, even with Jesus on the boat. Maybe they thought, you know what? The boat's going to go under. We're all going to perish. He'll still make it because he's Jesus. But you know what? Even if the boat was wiped out, you know, we know the whole, how many have read the Bible, especially the New Testament? If the whole boat was wiped out, you know, Jesus and the disciples could keep walk onto the other side. I mean, you know, Jesus, he walked on water. So did Peter for a few moments, till then he began to look at the winds and waves. See, what stops you are the winds and waves that come against you. Because those winds and waves get your mind off of Jesus and that he's with you in the boat and that you're gonna make it. And you know, what does the Bible say about it? You know, what you have the right to do. And see, what happens is, you know, sometimes in situations like we've been having the last few weeks, as we begin to watch the weather and see the report and see this and to see that and to see the water and see the tornadoes, and you know, we got guys out there chasing the tornadoes because it's fun, and you know, and then they're all, you know, out there, and so we begin to look at all this stuff and we begin to get afraid. You know, because the guys on TV, whether they're Christians or not, you know, they don't say, you know what, here's all this stuff, but it's gonna be okay because Jesus is with you. They don't tell you that. And sometimes we don't remind ourselves about that. You know, and so we start getting afraid because we forget he's right in the middle of our boat. But not only in the middle of our boat, he's also telling us, you know what, you guys, just like the disciples, you know, they had the authority to speak to those waves just like Jesus did. And then, but we, most of you here, I know Mark 11, 22, 23, 24 very well. And the same concept of speaking to a mountain is the same concept of speaking to a storm, whether it's an actual storm or a storm of your life. So you shouldn't be afraid. In fact, why should we ever be afraid? Because we have scripture against being afraid. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear. You know what? That means if we have fear, it's not from God. It's from the devil. And what does the Bible say? Resist the devil, he'll flee from you, and you won't have fear anymore. So really, in essence, we gotta put our faith in God, resist the devil, not have fear, and just make it go the other side. And I know that sounds really simple, and I know it is simple, but it's really hard because sometimes our mind is so clouded with everything else, but that's why the Bible says to put on the mind of Christ. Look at things like Jesus looked at them. It's gonna be okay, we're going to the other side. Yeah, but there's winds and waves. I don't care about all of your butts. Your butts don't matter. All right, you know, the storm doesn't really matter. What matters is who's with you and where you're going. Because if you know who's with you, you know you're gonna make it. You know you're gonna get through it. You know, and you have to understand that some of us need to start developing the we mentality. When I say we, don't mean you and your wife and your family. You know, although your wife and family might be a part of it, but my we mentality is me and Jesus, we're gonna make it through everything. You know, and maybe you should even speak with the we. Who's we? Well, me and Jesus. I mean, we include our family with our situation because you're one with your wife, and you know. But you know, whenever you're saying, you know, you might be by yourself, but you can say we because you're always with Jesus. He's always there. And so in the middle of whatever storm you'll ever face, however tough it seems, he's right there telling you, hey, man, hang with me and we're going to make it. We're going to get through this. We're going to get through this together. It's all going to be okay. Trust in me. And so that's what I wanted to tell you tonight. Is, man, just trust in Jesus. Whenever you face any kind of storms, you know, and yes, you have the power to call the storms and tell them to leave. You know, and I know around here, and it's interesting, you know, and it's because most of the time we're lazy. But you know, a lot of times when we've ever had outdoor activities here at the ministry, we count on my mom coming against the weather. You know, because we said, you know, well, if it's a rain activity, then Miss Lynette's gonna pray about you. But you know what? When it's not a rain activity, it's your house, then you have to do the same thing as, you know, for your own self. Now, if it's a rain activity, I know you can count on mom because she's gonna do that. But you know what? Sometimes because you count on somebody else, you don't have any practice doing it yourself. You know, it is interesting too. And if you look at the little tornado map that they put out there the day after the tornadoes that came through here, the last set of tornadoes that came through, and they said that they were F1 coming around the Sepulpa area, and that actually I guess was split off in two tornadoes, and it came to the Arkansas River, and they died. Now, there was wind damage, it says, all throughout the city of Tulsa. We've seen that. Trees down, power lines down. Some of you maybe didn't have power for a few days, or, you know, mom and dad didn't have power when they left here. You know, so they had to get ready in the dark. So I told them it's good for them to kind of remind them about the good old days, you know, before they had electricity. But did you notice, according to the meteorologist, the tornado, you know, was just straight wind, and then it began to form another tornado about Broken Arrow High School past Broken Arrow. Now, I don't know if it's because people in the city of Tulsa were banding together and prayed. I think it probably was. Amen. I mean, many of you might remember the devastating tornado that hit Joplin a number of years ago. Anyone remember that tornado? I know we did some tornado relief efforts up there. You know, that same tornado was headed toward Tulsa. It split. Tulsa came back together and hit Joplin. Now, you know, it's interesting I track tornadoes a lot. I mean, I kind of, you know, and so it's interesting how many tornadoes kind of just miss the metropolitan Tulsa area. If they hit Tulsa, it's all usually in the outskirts. You know, and I believe it's because people are speaking. But we have the power to speak to storms. We have the power to speak to the storms, not only physical storms, but the storms of life. The same way. When it comes to a financial situation, when it comes to a health situation, when it comes to an emotional situation, whatever it is, we have the power to speak. And we should do what the Bible says. We should speak to our storms. We should speak to our mountains. And when we speak, we should expect them to move. We expect them to dissipate. Yes. Why? Because we say so and our faith is in God. Yes. Yes. But I just want you to remember tonight that you and Jesus, you're going to make it. You're going to get through it. And you're going to go the other side. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. And help us to understand and remember this message when we're in the middle of our own storms, whether they be physical storms, emotional storms, financial storms, or health storms, or whatever storms they might be. We thank you, Father, to help us to understand that we have the power and ability to speak to those storms, to resist the devil, and they have to flee from us, and we will get to the other side. We will make it. We will move through it. And we thank you, Father, for each and every person here. We thank you for their life, and we thank you that you're just helping them to be able to move through life like they need to move through life. You're giving them strength. You're giving them wisdom. You're just helping them every single day. And we just thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.